As I've already mentioned this morning, today, the fourth Sunday of Easter, is also known as Good Shepherd Sunday. And it's our birthday! It's actually our 15th anniversary as Church of the Good Shepherd. Now, later on, some of you who are mathematically inclined, Brad maybe, will hear me mention the date April 3rd. Okay. But once we started becoming more liturgical and we realized that the fourth Sunday of Easter was always going to be Good Shepherd Sunday, we adopted that as our birthday. All right? So don't try to math the math too hard. This is our adopted birthday, and it's usually in April, so that was close enough for us. One of my former bosses and mentors used to say, tell your story over and over again. And once you've told it 1,000 times, tell it again. So I come to you today as a humble servant of our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, the shepherd and overseer of our souls, the one who laid down his life for the sheep, who bore our sins in his body on the tree, and by whose wounds we are healed. I come to you as an under-shepherd in his flock, as a servant of the one who made heaven and earth, the seas and all that is in them, the one who divided the Red Sea before his people and led them by pillar of cloud and fire in the wilderness, the one who gave them bread from heaven and water from the rock and told them to go in to possess the land he had sworn to give them. Now, you should also know that I have oft times strayed like a lost sheep, but have come to know and have heard his voice for the sheep. I am a man of unclean lips, but have become completely and utterly undone. For I have been in the presence of our holy, holy, holy Lord, and he has shown me some of the plans he has for us. Plans he has for setting up our lampstand in this old First Baptist church building. Plans for making us a city on a hill that will be a place of refuge for thousands of lost and broken people streaming to enter its walls from miles around. So if you'd allow me, I'd like to tell you our story. Tell you about some of the things the Lord has shown me and said to me over the past 20 plus years. It's been that long. Things that I've preached to this body over the years. And thankfully, as I get older and as my memory is not as good as it used to be, thankfully I wrote some of those things down. I have sources. I have sources. In 2007, we found ourselves caught up in a wave of the Holy Spirit. Michelle and I had spent the previous 4 years experiencing tremendous inner healing from the Lord, experiencing personal renewal, learning how to pray for things we never thought possible. And I found myself smack dab in the middle of a prayer ministry to people in our former church body, making house calls that were bearing much fruit with a good friend and spiritual mentor. And then one day during the summer of 2007, two pastors out of the blue from Orchard Hills Church in Roanoke called us and wanted to have lunch. They had heard about our prayer ministry and wanted to talk about the things the Lord was doing in Lynchburg. Well, one thing led to another, and all of a sudden my friend, a seminary grad, was being asked to plant a church in Lynchburg through the Anglican Church of Rwanda in East Africa. And of course, we were going to go with him. Michelle and I were going to support him and do our part as members of that church. But then things started changing. The Roanoke pastor started talking to me as if I was going to be one of the leaders of that church plant. Needless to say, I was surprised and shocked. I had only a few years earlier finished my PhD in biology and had a job as a biology professor. I was shocked. So my friend and I came down here to this building to pray, to one of the rooms right outside this door and around the corner from the prayer chapel in the flock room. We had visited and prayed in this building since 2005. And one time the Lord told my friend that this is the place where I will bring renewal to Lynchburg. So we sat in the flock room around the corner from the prayer chapel, and we prayed. And my friend saw the Lord standing in front of us in a white robe with one hand on each of our heads, commissioning us for this new work. But what the Lord showed me next was shockingly specific and extremely clear. I saw the front door of this building, which was bolted up tight on that day, blowing wide open, and people from this city, including homeless and hungry people, streaming in and out, finding sustenance, salvation, and healing all hours of the day. I saw children running and laughing, artists painting, musicians singing and playing, scientists studying God's creation throughout this building, in the portico outside the sanctuary, and all over this property. I was floored. I didn't ask for that. I had no context for what I had just seen. What God had just showed me was so different from the way things were in this building at that time. Fast forward to the first few months of 2011. All Souls, the church plant I've been telling you about, had been meeting in homes at the White Hart Cafe, which used to be right down the street, and on the campuses of both Randolph and Lynchburg colleges for almost 4 years. But something was wrong. Things had become relationally toxic, boundaryless, directionless. We were spinning, frenzied, and confused. I had already been ordained as a deacon in the Anglican Church of Rwanda, but things were getting so bad that Michelle and I were probably, as I think back on it, probably 2 weeks away from leaving everything behind and starting over somewhere else. But this is what's really strange. All the while, during that same time period, in the midst of great struggle and pain, the Lord started giving me a vision for a place he wanted to create for his people. A safe place, a stable place, a soft place for healing people to come and lay down, a place with boundaries and yet plenty of room to graze. The Lord gave me images. This is how it came first. I'm just telling you the story, how it came to me. Images of a green pasture, gentle streams, and a stone wall with a gate where he was standing to guard the sheep. And he fleshed out those images for me with scripture from Psalm 23, obviously. For some reason, that was surprising to me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And boy, were we in a dark valley and in need of some serious comfort. Looking back, as I've sort of already alluded to, the really funny thing is that I was pretty clueless as to what the Lord was up to. I literally said to him one time, "This sounds like a really great place, Lord, but I'm not sure why you're telling me about it. This can't have anything to do with me. And you know this can't happen here, not now, not the way things are." Later that same spring, the Lord hadn't made any John 10 connections in my heart yet. Duh. And even though I'm just telling you the way that it happened, I literally didn't think I would have anything to do with this vision the Lord was showing me. It was strangely important. I had a desire to know what the Lord would call this place. So while I was getting ready one morning, the Lord said to me, "Tim, I am the Good Shepherd." To which I replied, "Wow. Yeah, that's right, Lord, you are." I walked into the kitchen where Michelle was cooking and continued the conversation. "Good Shepherd Church, Lord?" And he said to me, "No. Church of the Good Shepherd." And with that, I fell back in my chair. It hit me like a wind. I'm just telling you what happened. Within weeks of that conversation with the Lord, the Holy Spirit moved through our little body in an unmistakable way, and we were instantly free. We had a lightness that we'd never had before. We were truly free for the very first time. And I finally knew what to do. I finally realized that I was supposed to share the vision the Lord had been showing me over those past several months. So that's what I did. On April 3rd, 2011, remember, don't math the math too hard, the day we became Church of the Good Shepherd. So we continued to meet at the Lynchburg College Chapel for several months more in 2011, and it was during that general time period that I met the Kunzingers and the Grootzes and the Benedicts and the Callaways and the DeVrieses. I just remembered a month or so ago that Josh and Micah were hanging around at All Souls towards the end. That was a good memory to be brought back to me. And obviously, those people became integral parts of the church in those very early days. Now look, don't be offended. I can't go through every location and say when I met each of you. A lot of you came all along the way in all of the places where we met. And I do remember when I met a lot of you, but that would just take forever. So I figured I would just stick with the people who I've known the longest. So please don't be offended. And then in June of 2011, we moved to the James River Day School Cafetorium. We met there for about a year and then moved to the chapel at New Covenant Schools in spring 2012, where we worshiped for another 3 years. All during that time, the original First Baptist Church vision was rolling around in my heart, and I felt like we were being called to make the move downtown. And so in November of 2015, we moved to 825 Main Street, right next door to Bowen's Jewelers on the corner of 9th and Main. In that new strategic location, over the next 5 years, we faithfully pressed into the vision the Lord gave us for homeless ministries and creating new spaces for the ever-growing group of children. Some things never change. Praise God for that, by the way. We love children. I've done my part with six of our original members. And then in the summer of 2020, in the midst of a global pandemic, we were forced to leave our beloved worship space. That was really hard for me. And move to 1105 Main Street next to the Scene 3 Skate Shop. Just two blocks down the 11th Street Hill here. You know, it's funny, Father Mike and the team, we would pray on the back porch of that place before every Sunday service, kind of like we do now in the fellowship hall. And we were in the shadow of this place. We could look up and see it. And we used to talk about, wow, remember what the Lord has said to us about that place? Every Sunday we would look up. I mean, you couldn't miss it. It's right, I mean, we were right there. Jumping back about 10 years from the pandemic, it's like one of these movies that starts backwards and jumps all over. Don't you hate that? So jumping back 10 years from the pandemic, so now about 2010, 2011, I just couldn't shake the original First Baptist Church vision again. So I started coming over here more and more to pray. And in the midst of those prayer times in 2010 and 2011, the Lord asked me to walk and pray around this building seven times with different groups of people, and that he would give it to us. So I walked and prayed with our regional leadership from the Anglican Church of Rwanda, the Roberts pastor was part of that team from Greensboro. I walked and prayed by myself with Father Mike, with our leadership team, and with the men, women, and children of the church. I had the kids out here marching around. I don't think they had all those instruments like they had yesterday with you, Jen, in the building. That would have been cool, though, if they did. That might have knocked the building down, though, right? But something truly amazing happened when Father Mike and I walked and prayed around the building in September 2011. We had gotten kicked off of the actual church property and had LPD called on us. But that's a story for another time. So we decided instead to walk around the entire block on the public sidewalk. We prayed along the way and stopped for extended prayers at each of the corners. When we got to the corner of 11th and Court Streets, right here, at the place where you entered the property this morning, the Lord spoke very clearly to me, and I made three declarations out loud. That's what happened. This is the green pasture, he said. This is the gate. And as I looked at the wall extending down both Court and then 11th Streets, and this is the stone wall. This is what the Lord said to me, and I spoke it out loud. We were shocked. I was shocked. This was the original vision of the green pasture that God had given us earlier that same year. We immediately commissioned a team of intercessors to ask the Lord for these impossible things. Todd Kramer, Derek Turrentine were the ones that led up that team. People who would dare to believe the vision the Lord was sending, dare to dream big, dare to implore him to do these things on behalf of his lost and broken sheep. Who would dare to tell him, the Lord, not only why he should do these things in general, but why he should use us to do it in this First Baptist Church building. How audacious. And as the Lord continued to clarify the vision and asked us to rebuild that wall, he also told us he would ask for resources to restore and renovate the building, including spaces for the children, a food bank, soup kitchen, and homeless shelter, and resources to provide for our leaders and their families. And so we asked him for those things. And even now, during this season of repair, we continue to ask. One of the things I told Father Mike and members of Church of the Good Shepherd as Michelle and I were preparing to pass the torch in spring 2021 is that Father Mike was the one standing in the gate on that day in September 2011 as we prayed around this building. And it struck me in that moment. It struck me then as I declared, "This is the gate," that he was the one standing there and not me. I sat on that one for a long time. But once I understood what that meant, I confidently passed the mantle of leadership to Father Mike in April 2021, knowing that he would be faithful to the Lord's vision. And obviously he has been, and here we are. Many of you know the rest of the story because you lived it in real time. In 2022, Mr. Green, our landlord at 1105 Main Street, who was introduced to us by Mr. Bowen, our landlord at 825 Main Street, noticed that the parking lot and building were getting pretty full on Sundays. In fact, I think I've heard some of you say that we were bursting at the seams. So Mr. Green said to Father Mike and some of the staff, "Have you ever considered meeting at the old First Baptist Church building up the hill?" Boy, have we ever. And so on Palm Sunday 2022, the people of the Good Shepherd moved into this place that the Lord had promised to give them. And the rest, as they say, is history. The people overseeing the building at that time worshiped with us and came to realize that we were proclaiming the same gospel message they had been preaching for many years. So they let us stay rent-free for over 2 years. And even offered to sell us the building. And then after several months of fasting and praying, we told them we didn't have any money to buy the building, but asked if they would consider giving it to us. Can you believe it? At first they said no, but after several more months they agreed, and in the fall of 2024, they signed over the deed to us for this property and this amazing building. Amaze, amaze, amaze. If you know, you know. People of the Good Shepherd, you are part of a miracle story. The vision the Lord gave us all those years ago continues to bear much fruit to this day. Thank you all for your faithfulness in carrying out his vision for the sheep of Lynchburg, Virginia. Now, I'm sure as you've listened to this story, you've realized there are parts that have not yet come to pass. So continue to believe, continue to hope, continue to pray, continue to walk out this vision, because I'm here to tell you this morning that the Lord is faithful. And he will bring about the entirety of this vision through his sheep at Church of the Good Shepherd. And we all said, Amen.